As we had talked about yesterday, there's been some bit of hiatus in fighting in Ukraine, and looks like negotiations are moving somewhere. We'll see what happens. But meanwhile, we are shifting our attention to Pakistan because the no confidence motion against Imran Khan's government has been admitted. There's a lot of giving and taking, toing and froing, defections and counter defections going on. So you will be watching it for the next few days. That will be the big story. Now, while that story plays out, all the expected things are happening. Imran Khan, who always said that he was a principled politician, will never make a compromise. He's given up his Kohinoor, the crown jewel, which is the chief ministership of Punjab. His own chief minister there, Usman Buzdar, who the scuttlebutt in Pakistan has it, and it's very well-informed scuttlebutt, that he was appointed at the behest or on the advice of Imran Khan's current wife, that is Bushra Bibi or Pinky Pirni as she is called. She is a holy person who also knows a bit of occult and black magic. She apparently told him that you appoint this guy as chief minister of Punjab, which is 60% of Pakistan. It's very important, will be very good for you, aapke liye shubh hoga, as you might say in Hindi, be auspicious for you. Also because his name begins with the same letter of Urdu alphabet as your name. So I don't know if I pronounce it right in Urdu, but something like Ain. So Imran and Usman, they begin like that. Plus it helped that he also happened to be almost from her village or thereabouts. So okay, he's now been forced to resign and a new chief minister is coming in from a party called PMLQ. And we'll come to that party because that party also features as a phenomenon in the evolution of Pakistani politics. PMLQ in this case is Pakistan Muslim League Qaid, named after Qaid-e-Azam. And the chief minister is going to be Parvez Elahi, who's had many such jobs in the past. There are some of these people who are always coming in. It's like a constant T20 innings that goes on. These batsmen come, hit a couple, go away, and then there's always another match in the league. So he's one of those characters. Now, as we talk about this, how do we understand Pakistan's basic politics? Where has Imran come from? Where has the power of General Bajwa come from? Is it the power of General Bajwa or something else? What is it in Pakistan politics that makes it so interesting, makes its history so checkered and so fascinating? Now, you might have heard that line. It's been anecdotally at least attributed to late Habib Jalib. Na mera Pakistan hai, na tera Pakistan hai, ye uska Pakistan hai, jo sadre Pakistan hai. Which means it's neither my Pakistan nor your Pakistan. This Pakistan belongs to whoever is president of Pakistan. Now, does that apply? Then I can give you the entire list of presidents of Pakistan. So Pakistan has had 4 governors general and 17 presidents, right, until now. But you will find that not all of them had any power. Similarly, Pakistan has had 28 prime ministers, depending on whether you count all the caretaker ones in the middle or not, because some of those only came in and went out in no time. Now, if you see 27, 28 prime ministers, you also have to take into account the fact that for 24 years since independence, Pakistan has had no prime minister. That's when mostly when military dictators were in power. So there was no prime minister. So say in about 50 years since Pakistan became independent, Pakistan has had nearly 27 to 28 prime ministers, depending on how you are counting. And yet you tell me which prime minister has had real power. I would say the only prime minister in Pakistan's history who had real power was Zulfikar Ali Bhutto between say 1973 to 1977 until Ziaul Haq, who he had appointed superseding others as his chief, put him in jail and later hanged him. So what is Sadr-e Pakistan means? Who is the chief executive of Pakistan? Now that is a tricky thing. When Pakistan came into being, it was a bit easy because Jinnah himself, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, was the Governor General of Pakistan. And the power was with the Governor General. So he took over as Governor General. His Prime Minister was Liaquat Ali Khan, who was actually an Urdu speaker or what in Pakistan would be called a muhajir, a refugee from India, from an aristocratic family in Uttar Pradesh with great connections everywhere. So he became prime minister. Initially, the prime minister had some powers, but in the course of time, these powers were taken away. A new constitution came in, and between 1951 and 57, governors general of Pakistan dismissed how many prime ministers? Six prime ministers. So in 7 years, six prime ministers were dismissed, and I will give you their names and some idea of their tenures also, and some of these will run on my screen. So you can see that from the very beginning in Pakistan, there were doubts about who has the real power. So prime minister, you said my prime minister is the chief executive, but the power lay somewhere else. Now, if you look at Pakistan's prime ministers in that period, Liaquat Ali Khan, 4 years and 63 days, the longest serving. Now, what happened with him is worth remembering. In January of 1951, he decided to appoint a Pakistani army chief. You know, after partition, India and Pakistan had both inherited British army chiefs. So Pakistan had General Gracie. There was a lot of resentment in Pakistani army that they needed a Pakistani chief. So Liaquat Ali Khan went around looking for a really bright character. And who did he find? He found a 44-year-old. A 44-year-old was appointed chief of Pakistan's army in January 1951. That 44-year-old had a distinguished military history. He was even suspended without pay as a punishment in the Burma campaign for cowardice, for displaying cowardice under fire as the commanding officer of a battalion under the British. This was General Ayub Khan. At 44, he became the chief of army staff. That is when, I would say, the foundation of the future politics of Pakistan was laid. January, he was made the chief, superseding many others. Among those superseded was a distinguished general called Major General Akbar Khan. Akbar Khan was also a celebrated general because he, under a code name, under an assumed name or a nom de guerre, had led the 1947-48 Pakistani military effort in Kashmir. So to that extent, he was hailed as somebody who fought for the country as soon as the country came into being, but he wasn't made the chief. He was also known to be of a leftist bent, therefore closer to the Soviet Union. So in March of 1951, he led a coup against Liaquat Ali Khan government. That coup failed. It is the only military coup in Pakistan's history that failed. The first one failed. And you know why? Possibly because it was the only coup in Pakistan's history that's been led by leftists. So Akbar Khan's accomplices included, for example, Faiz Ahmad Faiz. And later, there was a military trial and they were all given long jail sentences, as was Faiz. And just a sidelight, their lawyer was Hussain Shaheed Sohrawardi, who later became the chief executive of Pakistan. And one of the things that he could achieve in his short tenure there before he got fired also, one of the things he could achieve or do was to remit the sentences of these people, which are his former clients, including Faiz Ahmad Faiz. So that is where this complex history started. Later that year, Liaquat Ali Khan got assassinated. So did not complete his 5 years. He got assassinated by some Pathan of the Zadran tribe. Nobody figured out what the reason was, who had sent him. So he assassinated Liaquat Ali Khan at a public meeting. Police shot him at the public meeting. Khatam kahani. End of story. Nobody figured out. So that is when also the history of mysterious political assassinations in Pakistan started. Now, after Liaquat Ali Khan, there was Khwaja Nazimuddin. He was a Bengali. He was from East Bengal. 1 year, 18 days. Muhammad Ali Bogra, also from East Bengal. 2 years. 2 years and some 100 days. Then came Hussain Shahid Sohrawardi, 56 to 57. 1 year and 35 days. That's when I told you he remitted the sentences of Faiz Ahmad Faiz and others who he had represented as a lawyer earlier. And then came Ibrahim Ismail Chundrigar for 59 days and Malik Firoz Khan Noon for 295 days. Then Nurul Amin for just 13 days, but that's much later. I will come to that. That happens in 1971. Now, these are the seven prime ministers that got dismissed by governor general, six by governor generals, one by president in those 7 years. So prime minister's job in Pakistan was always skating on thin ice. Now, in this period, you would imagine the power was more with governor generals and presidents. That also is a very interesting cast of characters. So if you want to understand Pakistan's politics today, you have to understand the politics of the 50s, because that is when this foundation was laid. And remember, if you read so much of the declassified documents of the US State Department, even when Ayub was a brigade commander, there are notes written by the American Consul General in Lahore saying that we have identified in this brigadier, young brigadier Ayub Khan, a potential leader for Pakistan who will be very friendly with us. And Ayub then also laid the foundations of the pro-American, pro-Western, Western-aligned, American-aligned foreign and military policy for Pakistan. Now, look at the cast of characters as governor generals. First of all, Jinnah himself, but Jinnah was not well. So he lasted only 1 year, 28 days. He passed away. He had a serious lung issue. Then came Khwaja Najimuddin, 3 years and 22 days, Bengali. Then came a very interesting name, Malik Ghulam Muhammad, who lasted 3 years and 29 days. Again, an aristocrat, very well educated, I think in one of the British universities, very well connected, very wealthy. And you know what? Next time you see a car which is made by Mahindra's or Mahindra and Mahindra, remember that until independence, until the partition, Mahindra and Mahindra was Muhammad and Mahindra. And the Muhammad in that Muhammad and Mahindra was Malik Ghulam Muhammad. So after the partition, this became Mahindra and Mahindra. His businesses remained in Pakistan and he became the third Governor General of Pakistan. Fourth Major General Iskandar Mirza, who later also became President. Now he is a very interesting character. Again, we should not judge anybody because of their ancestry, but Major General Iskandar Mirza, again part of the aristocracy, a former bureaucrat, civil servant, celebrated by the British. He was a great grandson of Mir Jafar, of Nawab Mir Jafar of Bengal. You remember the famous or infamous man from the Battle of Plassey and Siraj ud-Daulah, who's seen as somebody who betrayed Siraj ud-Daulah to Robert Clive at that point. But as we said, we don't judge any generation based on their ancestors. But I'm just mentioning it to you as a factoid that he was a great grandson of Mir Jafar. After him, the next tamasha started. So in 51, Ayub became the army chief, but he wasn't happy just being the army chief and the Americans helping him. He had the Americans helping him. So he became defense minister. He got other ministries and he also became prime minister while he's also the army chief. Right? So until 58, for 7 years, he remains the army chief. And then something happens. In that year, Iskandar Mirza, who is then the president of Pakistan, he imposes martial law. He imposes martial law just after 2 weeks of a prime minister having been there. So this was a prime minister called Nurul Amin. You have to search for him. Even if you go to Google, you might find under Wiki, maybe a couple of lines only on him. He was a prime minister for 13 days and then the president got impatient with him, imposed martial law. And who will be the chief martial law administrator? My favorite defense minister, prime minister, etc. That is Ayub himself. And what does the general do? When he becomes chief martial law administrator, he's appointed chief martial law administrator by his president. Within 2 weeks, he fires the president and he becomes the president. So that is how Ayub Khan became the president of Pakistan in 1958 and lasted till 1969. So that is when we come to the other major fact about Pakistan. The only people, no elected prime minister in Pakistan has served 5 full years. No elected president with any power has spent 5 years. The only president who was not a military president but had real power, again, was Bhutto for just over a year after 1971, after Pakistan lost the war and Yahya Khan was thrown out. But the only rulers who have commanded power for a period of more than 5 years in Pakistan's history are the generals. So if you look at the generals in Pakistan, 4 generals have directly ruled Pakistan. Ayub Khan, 1958 to 69, 10 years and 4 months. Yahya Khan, after him, 2 years and 8 months. After that came Zia for about 9 years, in fact, a little more than 9 years. Although during some of that period, he was not technically the chief executive, he held a party-less election where Muhammad Khan Junejo became prime minister. Now, presidents in Pakistan, the generals, have tried to innovate with democracy. So Ayub Khan, because everybody figures that in the course of time, my position will become untenable. I have to go to the White House. I have to go and paint myself as some kind of a leader of a large country. So they try to hold some kind of an election and bring in. So first thing is to hold a referendum where all these dictators, whether it was Ayub or Zia or Musharraf, they get 90% plus votes. I wonder what happens to the rest who don't vote for them. So, and then they come up with some innovation on democracy. So Ayub's idea was guided democracy, that I'll have a democracy, but I'll guide it from outside, right? But when it comes to elections, I will either get 97% or 98% or I will rig it. So 1967, he fought a presidential election. Against him was none else than Fatima Jinnah, the sister of Muhammad Ali Jinnah, who is called Madre Millat, you know, mother of the nation. And she was Qaid-e-Azam's constant companion. She was defeated, although she won the popular vote. So they rigged that election and they said, oh, she's won the popular vote, but Electoral College, Ayub's won in any case. First, second, third, fourth, all umpires are ours. DRS is ours, etc., etc. All kinds of mad allegations were made against her. It's only later that she's been fully rehabilitated and reinstated in Pakistan's history and given her place of honor, which is a duly deserved place. But Ayub was even, a dictator was even willing to push her around, Jinnah's own sister and Jinnah's closest companion. So almost 11 years, Ayub ruled Pakistan. 2.5 years, Yahya Khan, he only went out because he lost that war in 71. After that came Zia, 9 years, and then came Musharraf for more than 7 years. So if you add up the tenure of all these, I told you for 24 years, Pakistan did not have a prime minister. But if you look at the tenure of these formal military dictators, that adds up to 30 years. So for 30 years, Pakistan has had a military dictator. Three of these have served for more than 5 years. One for 10 years plus, one for nearly 10 years, that is 9 years and 11 months, Ziaul Haq, and third, Musharraf, for nearly 8 years. So the only durable chief executives in Pakistan have been the military dictators. That's why when the poet from the Shire said, Na tera Pakistan hai, na mera Pakistan hai, ye uska Pakistan hai, jo sadre Pakistan hai, what he meant was, he was reflecting on that period of the 60s and the 70s when the Sadr, the president, was an all-powerful military dictator. Now, that hasn't been happening lately, as we know. So, see the twists and turns that the country goes through. When Zia realizes that he needs, Americans are putting pressure, he wants to be less of a bad guy. I don't think he was trying to be a nice guy. He wanted to be less of a bad guy. So, he thought, let me hold an election. So, first he said, democracy is a great thing, election is a great thing, but it's like exercise is a great thing for everybody. But when somebody is really sick and needs treatment on a hospital bed, do you tell him to go exercise? That is the state of Pakistan. Democracy is good for Pakistan, but Pakistan is a patient, a sick patient. I can't tell a sick patient to go out and start exercising. Then as pressure went up, particularly from the US, he decided, just as Ayub had guided democracy, now Zia thought he'll have party-less democracy. So he held a party-less election. Can you imagine a party-less election? What does that mean? I mean, can you have an alcohol-free whiskey? I mean, if you have one and you love to drink whiskey, go ahead and drink it, right? When you get really high, give me a call, you'll be all right, right? So he said, I will have a party-less election. In that party-less election, a man called Muhammad Khan Junejo got elected. Even with that, Zia got scared. Isko power mil gaya to mera kya hoga? So Zia, in fact, amended the constitution, the 1973 constitution, that was called the 8th Amendment. That amendment gave the president power to hire and fire. Basically, he could fire the prime minister at any point of time. So there's a little story, and it's not apocryphal, it's a true story. In 1987, during the tensions over Operation Brass Tacks, to ease the tensions, Ziaul Haq came to India to watch the cricket test match in Jaipur, which Indian and Pakistani teams were playing. That is when he also called on Gyani Zel Singh, who was president of India. And as they met two fellow Punjabis, Zia told Gyani Zahil Singh, Gyani ji, hun te main vi thodi tarah president haan, koi power nahi, power sare prime minister di hai. That now, that Gyani ji, I am a titular president just like you. I have no powers. Just like you, your country, powers are all with the prime minister. So Gyani Zahil Singh was very sharp. And he wasn't about to let go of a full toss or a half volley like that. He was going to hit it for a six. So Gyani Zahil Singh put his arm around Zia and said, Zia saab, ek farak hai. There is one difference, Zia saab. What is that? He said, meri naukri toh sirf 5 saal ki hai. I know that in 5 years I have to go. Aapka kya hai, jab tak marzi rao. You can carry on for as long as you wish. And Zia did carry on for as long as he wished or God wished, because, you know, something put him away in that air crash in Bahawalpur. So he was insecure even about this bonsai prime minister. So he passed this amendment to give himself the power, the president the power to sack him. Then he died. After he died, a more proper election took place where parties contested, not partyless. That's when Benazir became prime minister. But once again, the establishment wasn't going to like it. So Ghulam Isaak Khan, who became the president after Zia, used the 8th amendment to sack Benazir. Then he used the same power to sack Nawaz Sharif and again used the same power to sack Benazir. So in less than 5 years, Ghulam Isaak Khan also didn't complete his 5 years as president. In less than 5 years, Ghulam Isaak Khan sacked 3 elected prime ministers using the power of the 8th Amendment. Next time an election took place and Nawaz Sharif came back, he had 2/3 majority. So he said, now I'm going to fix this system. He said to me in an interview on a train which he was riding from Islamabad to Lahore, like a protest train ride where he was gathering crowds everywhere. And he said that this system is adha tetar adha bater, half a partridge, half a quail, I'm going to change it. So he got his majority and he came and he amended the constitution to take away the 8th Amendment, which means to take away the power of the president to sack his prime ministers. So the amendments he brought about, these were 13th and the 14th amendments. These set aside the 8th amendment, so president no longer had the power to fire him. It again became a parliamentary democracy where the prime minister had the power that earlier resided in the president. Of course, we know that the real power in Pakistan all this while continued to reside in the army, because no prime minister was lasting long enough. And one reason no prime minister has lasted long enough is that the army does not want anybody to get so powerful that they start questioning them or challenging them, or they start not signing on the dotted line. He amended this, but once again, we know what happened to him. Despite his big majority in 1999, Musharraf staged a coup and threw him out, threw him in jail, and then later sent him into exile. And Musharraf first anointed himself chief executive of Pakistan. Then when he was coming to India for the Agra peace talks, he thought chief executive baat nahi banegi, protocol kya hoga, right? At least Fauji's generals know protocol. So then he named himself president of Pakistan, fantastic. And after that, he also held a sham election. He also held some kind of an election which was a cross between guided democracy of Ayub and partyless democracy of Ziaul Haq. So in this election, he floated a party of his own indirectly. So basically, they broke up Nawaz Sharif's party, PMLN as it was then called, Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz, and created PMLQ, that's PML Qaid, Pakistan Muslim League Qaid, and it was then called the King's Party, because it was the Musharraf was the king and he had floated a party. So I told you when I was talking about Zafar Elahi that I'll come back to PMLQ. So that is the story. So PMLQ was founded also by, in a way, consecrated by a military dictator to bring in some kind of a sham democracy. Now, in that election in 2004, they again brought in a prime minister, and that prime minister was a man whose name, I am sure, if I mention to you, you might reach for Google, but you will not remember, because he hardly registered. He was Zafrullah Jamali. Now, this was a government with PMLQ plus a faction of Muhajir Qaumi Mahaz, basically Marpeet ke, they had set up this coalition, the King's Coalition. Even then, the dictator got insecure that 8th Amendment power had gone. He didn't want a prime minister who may tomorrow start thinking that he can defy the president. So he once again had the constitution amended. So now they came up in 2004 with the 17th amendment of Pakistani constitution, which partly restored the president's powers under the 8th amendment. The new amendment said that the president can dismiss an elected prime minister at his whim, subject to the endorsement by the Supreme Court of Pakistan. And then you know what happens to judges and judiciaries in these situations when there is an all-powerful dictator. After all, Bhutto was hanged for a crime for which normally in a usual court of law, he would have got away quite easily. So 17th Amendment restored these powers. Once again after that, 2007, when Musharraf fell, he became unpopular. There was a big movement against him. He left power, and this time Pakistan People's Party came in, and Nawaz Sharif's party helped them. They re-amended the constitution and now brought in the 8th Amendment, again taking away the power of the president to sack the prime minister. Now, while this was happening, army was quietly watching this, because army does not like the mess of politics. In fact, Musharraf, when he spoke with some of us over that infamous breakfast in Agra, how come when Mr. Vajpayee came to Lahore, you didn't go to receive him in a public place? He said, ye political log aate hain, to maine bhi apne prime minister ko bola hai, aap political log hote ho, bahut dhool mitti hoti hai, bahut mess hoti hai, to wahan main kyon jaun, baad mein milunga. That, you know, when politicians meet, there's a lot of mess. There is something to that. Army generals like linear systems. So at some point of time, they figured that in this time and age, it's impossible or it's very difficult for an army general to take power formally and carry on, because the world will not accept it. So maybe let this tamasha go on underneath, under the surface or under the radar, whereas we have a linear way, linear control over the power structure. And that is what has happened now. Now, what's happened very oddly and very surprisingly is that Imran Khan, who is a child of this same linear structure, because they held the last election after disqualifying all the key rivals, likely key rivals against him. They loaded the battlefield in his favor, Imran's favor. Even then, when he did not have majority, they helped him cobble up a majority. In the state of Punjab, he did not have a majority. They got all the other parties, including the usual suspect, PMLQ, to make and nationally also MQM factions to help him form a government with a majority. It is just that in his third year, he also began to challenge that general's authority. And once again, he made the same mistake that many others have made before him. Remember, Ayub Khan was made the chief above the heads of many others, right? And what did he do? He destroyed Pakistan's democracy for two decades by himself, starting with 51, ending in 1967, and took over power. Similarly, Bhutto promoted Zia over the heads of many others, thinking that he'll be compliant, but he wasn't. He hanged Bhutto. Once again, Nawaz Sharif had already sacked one chief, that is General Jahangir Karamat, who had the reputation of being a very professional general. And frankly, I did meet him. We were members of some track two groups, which included former Indian chiefs and former Pakistani chiefs and foreign secretaries from both sides. He was fired by Nawaz Sharif. And in the process, while he continued fighting his generals, he fought with another professional general, Asif Nawaz Janjua, who died in harness. He appointed Musharraf, again superseding others, hoping that he'll be compliant. Plus maybe hoping that he's a muhajir, so he will not be such a threat. And yet Musharraf threw him out. Imran made a similar mistake. When he gave General Bajwa an extension of 3 years, he thought that now this guy will be beholden to me. But it doesn't work like that. So the lesson here is that in a system like Pakistan, it doesn't matter who the chief is. We waste too much time saying this chief is like this, this chief is like that. A chief in Pakistani army is like bus number 77. One goes, another one comes, that also says 77. In the sense that the power over or this divine right over Pakistani power, that is held by the institution called Pakistan Army. So who the chief is doesn't matter. So no matter who gets elected and who gets thrown out, and anybody who asks too many questions will get thrown out. The Pakistani Army also has been quite respectful of Pakistan's diversity here. Sure enough, no Bengali has become the chief of army staff in Pakistan, and no Bengali has become a dictator. But of the four military dictators, two are Punjabis, that is Yahya Khan and Ziaul Haq. One a Pathan, that is Muhammad Ayub Khan, who became field marshal later. And one a Muhajir, that is Musharraf. So one Muhajir, one Pathan and two Punjabis. So the sum of all this is today's supremely ironic situation, whereby Imran Khan, who is a child of the same army establishment, who's been installed there, who's been called quite rightly the selected prime minister, not the elected prime minister, he is now gone rogue from their point of view. And he's challenging the same army establishment. Now, you like Imran Khan, you don't like Imran Khan. You like democracy, you don't like democracy. So the irony is that if you like democracy, and if you think elected government should survive, and military should not be able to throw them out, you might think that Imran Khan should win because he's fighting a good battle. He's fighting a battle to protect a democratically elected government against interference from the big bosses of the general headquarters. But there is one little rider there. Is Imran Khan's a legitimately elected government? As long as a large number of people believe, and quite rightly, that he did not get a majority of his own, that his is a selected government, he was installed there by the army, the same army can take him down as well.